Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, y'all look comfortable, so everybody stand up. Glory to God. Shake hands with just two or three people around you again. Welcome to Resurrection Sunday. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Thanks, guys. Well, the Lord is good. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And His mercy endures for how long?
Forever.
Forever. Say, His mercy to me,
Endures forever.
Glory to God. That's His loving kindness and goodness and mercy and compassion toward us. Thank you for that, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. Good to see you this morning. Praise God on Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Glory to God. And I invite you to look with me to Romans chapter 10. Yeah. Romans chapter 10. In a minute, we're going to read one of the most famous passages concerning our salvations, Romans 10, 9 and 10. But let's begin with Romans 10, 4. It says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. In other words, this is the way righteousness comes. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. You see, the theme of the book of Romans is justification by faith, righteousness by faith. And so the word righteousness and faith in Jesus is what it's all about. Glory to God. I like the way the Amplified Bible says Romans 10:4. Says, for Christ is the end of the law, it leads to Him, and its purpose is fulfilled in Him for granting righteousness to everyone who believes in Him as Savior. Amen. And then in verse number 5, let's read on here. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, but who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Paul said we preach the word of faith, and the word of faith always believes something in the heart, and then it says it or confesses it with the mouth. Verse number 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto or to salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on Him will not be put to shame, will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon Him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Now we call the book of Romans, what we call the book of Romans is actually a letter that Paul wrote to the saints at Rome. Amen. Praise God. And of course, in reality, this is God's word. This is the Bible. This is God speaking to you, speaking to me. And so we call this the book of Romans. And as you probably know, this was when Paul wrote this letter, he did not write it in chapter and verse. You know, you never wrote a letter and said, dear mom, chapter 1, verse 1. No, we have chapter 1 and verse number 1 to help us find scripture passages and to help us locate truths easily. So when people get what we call to chapter 10, you know, we just read in chapter 10, but when the Romans got to chapter 10, they had already read everything. You know, in chapters 1 through 9. You know, you wouldn't get a letter. People don't write letters that much anymore, but you wouldn't get a letter and there'd be 5 pages and you just turn to page 3 and start reading, would you? So when the Romans read chapter 10, they already know everything that Paul has already said in verses 1 through 9. So certain things are said in chapter 10 are to be read in the light and understanding of what's already been said. Amen. I mean, if you buy a new riding lawnmower, it comes with instructions. Well, you know, how many have a riding lawnmower today? When I was growing up, if you had asked that question, nobody would have raised their hand. You know, very few people had did they have riding lawnmowers? I don't remember. But anyway, when riding lawnmowers first came out, only a few people had them, but now almost everybody has them. Well, when you know, that riding lawnmower comes with instructions. And so it comes with several pages of instructions. It'll give you two or three pages of instructions on concerning safety. But then it'll start talking about how you operate that motorcycle in the brain. It's getting warmer. How you operate that lawnmower. Amen. And so pretty quick it's going to give you the operating instructions. Well, you probably all know this, but you know, for safety reasons, when you get on a lawnmower and you crank it up, those blades are not engaged. You have to engage the blades. So when you get your operating instructions, you may not already know how, but those operating instructions will tell you how to engage those blades. It'll tell you step by step what you must do to engage the blades, and it will tell you step by step what to do to disengage those blades. Amen. That's going to be right at the first of your instructions. But then later, maybe, you know, on page 5 or page 7, it may say something like, now that the blades are engaged, or since the great blades are engaged, or with the blades are engaged, or making sure that the blades are disengaged. Amen. Now, when it gives you those instructions, you know, down the line, you know, every time it talks about engaging or disengaging the blades, it doesn't give you instructions about how to do that again. Because it already did that. It already told you on page 1, so to speak, how to do that. So now every time it talks about engaging or disengaging the blades, you know, you've already read that. It's already in the past. So you know what to do. You know what it means to disengage the blades or to engage the blades. And sometimes when I'm reading instructions, you know, because sometimes we just kind of skip over things and you have to read them very, very carefully. Sometimes I'll get to page 6 or 7 and it'll talk about something that was mentioned back on page 2. And I'll have to go back and remember what it actually said. Because I'm trying to do something and I skimmed over it so fast I left out a word. You know, so you have to do that. So you understand that. Well, in Romans 10, Paul has already told us lots of things that we need to know and understand to fully understand what's being said here in Romans chapter 10. Are you following me? Amen. So we just don't read Romans 9 and 10 without ever having what was said before, not to fully understand it. And really, as Christians, one of the hints to interpreting the scriptures is you have to interpret the scriptures in the light of everything that was said in the Bible. This book talks a lot about righteousness, but this isn't the only book that talks about righteousness and how you and I are made right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, for instance, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, He, that's Jesus, who knew no sin, was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So really, we have to read Romans 10, 9 and 10 in the light of everything the Word of God says. And so I want us to specifically look at Romans 9 and 10 in the light of what's really being said here, because I think we sort of know. Let's read it again, Romans 10, 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We all sort of kind of know what that means, generally speaking, but I want us to see specifically what this very famous scriptural passage is saying to us, because it's talking about how to be saved or to be right with God. How many of you think it's important to be right with God? If there is a God, and there is, and if there is a heaven to gain, and there is, and if there is a hell to miss, and there is, and if by living for Jesus we can avoid great pain and heartache and sorrow and misery and shame in this life, then we need to be right with that God. So this is talking about how to be right with God, how to be saved. You know, if you're saved, you are right with God. If you're right with God, you are saved. Can you say amen? And nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, is more important than that. Being right with God. Nothing even comes close, not even a close second. So what does Paul tell us in chapters 1 through 9 that we need to understand? Well, first of all, he talks a lot, like I said, about righteousness or justification. Understand that the Greek word translated right, righteous, righteousness, all the basic same Greek word, the same word translated right, righteous, and righteousness is also translated just, justification, justifier, that's all the same word. And in the book of Romans particularly, righteousness means to be right with God. Glory to God. Justified, to be just before an awesome God, a mighty God, a holy God. Justified, like we say sometimes, just as if I never sinned. To be right with God, it must be just as if you never sinned. Never made a mistake. Glory to God. So righteousness means to be in right standing with God. It means to be right with God. But then Paul tells us in the book of Romans in these previous chapters that no one is righteous. No one. Not one. It says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, now most people know that they are sinners. That's kind of a self-evident fact. But you know, some people are, I'm talking about people that aren't saved, they're kind of self-righteous. They think, well, no, I'm a good guy, but not according to God's standards. God says nobody is right with me. All have sinned, amen, and come short of the glory of God. And he made it abundantly clear that no one is made right because they keep the law. Actually, Romans 3 tells us that, listen, the purpose of the law was to show you that you were a sinner. It was to show you that you could not keep the commandments and that you desperately needed a Savior. Glory to God. And no one in their own goodness or by doing good works is ever made right with God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he says, we are right with God. The way we become righteous, the way we are right with God is through faith in Jesus. And these things I'm saying to you, Paul says these things and teaches these things and reiterates these things over and over and over again before you ever get to Romans chapter 10. Amen. Our salvation is a matter of grace based on what Jesus did for us. Grace is God freely giving us what we did not deserve or earn. Romans 5:17 calls righteousness a gift. It's a gift, the gift of righteousness. In other words, it's given to you and you just simply take it or receive it by faith, by believing that Jesus died on the cross for you and was raised from the dead for your justification. Glory to God. So, you know, we can't earn it. We can never be made right with God through our, that's the law showed that to us. The law showed us we were sinners and guilty. And we in this case, you know, somebody might give you a gift that you didn't do anything for. People gave me birthday gifts recently. I didn't do anything for them. I just received those gifts. I just stuck out my little hand and said, thank you. Hallelujah. And you know, you may get a birthday gift and you didn't deserve it. But I mean, you didn't earn it. But when it comes to salvation, neither did we deserve it. Matter of fact, we deserved hell. We deserved death. Eternal separation from God. So it's an unearned, undeserved favor of God. You know that. It's grace is God freely given us what we did not earn or deserve. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus died for us on the cross. He shed his blood for us to pay the price for our sins. Amen. And now salvation and righteousness is offered to everyone on the basis of faith. We simply receive God's free gift of salvation and righteousness by faith. So again, God, through the sacrifice of his Son, justifies the ungodly by faith. That's the message. You're justified by faith. We just believe that Jesus took our place and died for us. And we put faith in him as our Savior. And we take him and accept him as our Lord and Savior. You know, the word believe in the biblical sense means to take or to accept. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior is to take him as your Lord and Savior. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your healer is to take your healing and then to confess and say, according to the Word of God, I am healed or I am saved. I like this scripture, Romans 3:24, says we are justified. Everybody say justified. We are made righteous. We are made right with God. How many of you want to be right with God? We are justified. We are made right with God freely by his grace that is in the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Well, we kind of get lost in that terminology a little bit, but you know what redemption is. In redemption, Jesus paid our sin debt by taking our sin upon himself. Amen. He died for our sins so that we could be free of them and be made right with God. You know, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us. Redeemed. Redeem, you need to be redeemed because you're a sinner. You're a slave to sin. Satan is your master. Here's your Lord. The confession of the Lord Jesus Christ is transferring your Lord. You're saying, I'm not going to follow Satan and sin anymore. I'm going to surrender my heart to the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to confess Him as Lord. See, whoever shall say that Jesus is Lord or confess Jesus is Lord, a better translation might be confess Jesus as Lord. In other words, you are confessing Him as your personal Lord. You're taking Him, you're receiving Him as your Lord. So we are justified, Romans 3:24. We are freely, we're made right with God by His grace through the redemption. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us. Christ has delivered us, different words. He's purchased our freedom from the curse of the law. He paid the price. That's what it means to be redeemed. A price is paid so that you can go free. So in redemption, Christ paid the price that we might go free from sin and Satan and everything that came as a result of sin and Satan. So Galatians 3:13 just simply says Christ has redeemed. He's paid the price that you might go free from the curse of the law. The curse was everything that would happen to us, the punishment that would come on us because we were not right with God because of sin. And that curse included eternal separation from God. It concerned death. It was hell. It was sickness and disease here on the earth, and a life of misery and pain and poverty and so forth and so on. Can you say amen? And then Romans 4:25, the next verse says, I really like this. Romans 4:25, Jesus was delivered up. Everybody say delivered up. Why? Because of our offenses. And was raised because of our justification. I really like this word delivered up. We sort of know what that means. He was delivered up. In other words, that's when He died on the cross. He was delivered up. But I looked that word up. I'd never looked that word up before. The word in the Greek, delivered up, is one word. Delivered up. And here's what it means. Delivered up in the Greek means to give over into the hands of another. Jesus, you see, was given over to the hands of another to be judged, condemned, punished, scourged, tormented, and put to death. Wow. See, that's the penalty for not being right with God. The wages of sin is death. And that's what should have happened to all of us. But Jesus. And so He was delivered up. He was given over to the hands of another, that is the devil, to be judged, condemned, punished, scourged, tormented, and put to death. That's Jesus on the cross. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory to God. And so the judgment and condemnation and punishment and death that should have fallen on us because of our sins fell on us, and He paid our sin debt. But then the next part of that verse says, He was raised. He was resurrected because of our justification. What does that mean? God raised Jesus from the dead, signifying that God had accepted His sacrifice and payment for our sins. Oh, glory to God. See, only the blood of God, only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ could pay our sin debt. And so that sin debt was accepted, and Jesus was raised Lord over the devil and over sin and over everything that comes from Satan and sin. So now, hallelujah, we can be justified. We can be made right with God by believing that in the death and resurrection, in His death and resurrection, our sins have been dealt with. Amen. And like I said, Paul makes these truths over and over and over again in the book of Romans. It even starts in Romans chapter 1. I mean, maybe this scripture, Romans 1:16 and 17, Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, to save you." But the word salvation there really means the sum total of everything that Jesus redeemed you from. The sum total of every single blessing that belongs to you because Jesus died on the cross and was raised from the dead. And so the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation to everyone who tries to be a really good guy. To everyone who does his best to obey the law. To everyone that tries to be nice to old ladies. No, to everyone who believes. For it is written, for the Jew first, also to the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God, the ability to be right with God, is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, those that are righteous, shall live by faith. It starts by faith. We live by faith and we continue on by faith. Can you say amen? Amen. So in the book of Romans, Paul tells us that no one is right with God. We're all under the control and dominion and lordship of the devil. We all need a Savior. And God in his great love for us, Romans 5, 6, and 7, and 8, God in his great love for us sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. He took upon himself our sins and paid the price for them. And because his sacrifice was accepted by God, he was raised from the dead to make us right with God. So now, salvation, righteousness are offered to us as a matter of grace. Amen. We simply receive by faith what he did for us. Glory to God. Now listen to this. Because here's where a lot of people that go to church on a regular basis live. Just mentally acknowledging and accepting that Jesus really lived. He was a real historical figure. He was a good man. He was a holy man. Even acknowledging that he was the Son of God and that he died and was rose again, and saying, well, he's Lord of the universe, doesn't save you. Demons believe that, but they're not saved. I said, demons believe that, but they're not saved. No, Romans 10 told us to call upon him. Whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. I like very much what 1 Corinthians 15:3 says. Paul said, for I delivered to you first of all that which I have received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Glory to God. So we call upon the Lord. Call upon the Lord. You have to call upon the Lord. You call upon the Lord because you recognize, I need a Savior. You have to realize that my way of thinking is wrong, my way of trying to be right with God, my way of doing things, my worldly philosophies, they're all wrong. You know, people are filled with a lot of worldly philosophies that one day they will stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment, amen, and they will fall on their knees and say, I was wrong. Because anything that's not in line with the principles of God's word is absolutely not the truth. And so you know why I am a conservative? I'm not a conservative for the sake of being a conservative, because the Scriptures, what the Bible teaches, according to the world's definition, is conservative. And you see, so what do you think about all the LGBTQ? I think what the Bible says. What do you think about marriage? I think what the Bible says. What do you think about abortion? I think what the Bible says. I believe what the Bible says. Glory to God. When I was in college and under the influence of a lot of ungodly people and lived an ungodly life and was backslidden as a Christian, I had a lot of goofy, stupid ideas and isms, mostly hedonism. If you don't know what that means you live for pleasure and partying and having a good time. Forget, you know, trying to be a socialist or a communist or this. I just live for pleasure. Party! But whatever ism or ideology or theology that you have to say, I'm wrong. I give that up. I repent. I'm a sinner. I recognize that I am a sinner. I am in need of a Savior. And I call upon the Lord and I ask Him to save me. Glory to God. Amen. We call on Him because we recognize we are sinners in need of a Savior. We repent and turn from our own way. Glory to God. And I like what E.W. Kenyon said about repentance. He says, there is no higher repentance than to confess Jesus as Lord. Think about what he's saying. He said, it is the highest order, confessing Jesus as your Lord. You're saying, He's my Lord. That means you surrender to Him. You give in to Him. You do what He wants you to do. You believe what His Word says, not what the world says, not what you think. You surrender to Him. It's the highest order of repentance there is. Repentance is to turn from Satan's rule and from following him to the lordship of Christ. Amen. I'm not going to live for self anymore. I'm not going to just do my own thing. I'm miserable. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. And I turn to Jesus and I accept you. I take you. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. You're in essence repenting from and denouncing Satan as your Lord and Savior. Are you listening to me? So we repent and turn to Jesus, confess, and we confess Jesus as Lord. To confess Jesus as Lord is to agree with everything the Bible says about Jesus. Did you get that? I said to confess Jesus as Lord is to agree with everything the Bible says about Him as our personal Lord. You have to go back to what confession means. The original definition in the Greek of the word confession means to agree with. To agree with what? To agree with what the Bible says. To agree with and declare it to be so and to be so in your own life. See? So if I confess Jesus is my healer, then I agree with the Word of God that by His stripes I was healed, and I declare that to be true in my life. I agree with what the Word of God says. And that's what Christianity does talk about. Confession is the repentance of sin, but as many commentaries point out, it talks a whole lot more about confessing who you are in Christ Jesus. Christianity began with and is based on the great confession is, Jesus is Lord. Amen. Amen. So to agree, confession means you agree with and declare what the Bible says. And as Weiss says, you know, the famous Weiss Bible, and then Weiss was a Greek scholar that wrote lots of Greek word studies. He says to confess Jesus as Lord means to agree with all the Scripture says about Him and declare that to be true in your life. So He died on the cross, 1 Corinthians 15 says, for our sins according to the Scriptures. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And when we call upon Him, hallelujah, and believe in our hearts that God has raised Him from the dead and confess Jesus as our Lord, we are believing and saying, in essence, Jesus is the Son of God. I acknowledge that. I believe that. I believe that He died on the cross for my sins. He took my place. He was raised from the dead so that I could be made right with God. And so as a sinner, I turn to Him and receive Him as my Lord and Savior. And I confess that I am now saved. Can you say amen? Amen. Let me read you a little something here from Kenneth Hagin. Excuse me. Gosh. The sinner has served Satan. He is guilty of one sin in the sight of God, and that's the rejection of Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. You remember over in John, Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, He will reprove you of sin, reprove the world of sin, because they do not believe on me. See, Jesus dealt with the sins of the whole world. What stands before a sinner in God is what you have done with Jesus. Do you reject Him or do you accept Him? So the sinner has served Satan. He is guilty of only one sin in the sight of God, the rejection of Jesus Christ. Would you bring me that water? Jeez. Let's all cough together. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hey, stay right there. I thought I'd shower you with it or something. Go ahead. Might be like handling a snake there or something, you know. The sinner has served Satan. He is guilty of one sin in the sight of God, the rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. God demands the sinner confess the Lordship of Jesus. Confessing the Lordship of Jesus is the very heart of the gospel. Now here's what I want you to hear, a little story here. He said, well, I was conducting a meeting in Dallas, Texas a number of years ago. Some men in the church came to me asking prayer for a certain man who was still unsaved, although he had been coming to their early morning prayer services for 5 days a week for 6 months. I met him a few nights later at a Saturday night Bible class while I was conducting, especially for men who worked and couldn't attend our day sessions. The Lord immediately spoke to my heart and showed me what his problem was. We had a few testimonies in this meeting. Then I asked this man to stand and give his testimony. Startled, he said, I'm not saved yet. I mean, he's been coming to this Bible study for 6 months and is seeking to be saved and wants to be saved. I want you to listen to this because even a lot of word and faith people, see, this is the word of faith which we preach. You believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, that's how you're saved, but that's how you receive anything from God. And a lot of times people are just like this man. They come to church all the time and go, I believe in healing. I really do. And I'm seeking to be healed. And I believe in this and that and this blessing of God. But sooner or later, you've got to stand up and say, because you believe, I confess that I now have what I believe in my heart. And that's when it becomes a reality to you. Amen. I asked him to turn his Bible to Romans 10, 9 and 10 and read these verses aloud. He said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. When I asked him to read the last phrase, he repeated, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I said, certainly you can't be saved until you confess it. It is with the mouth that confession is made into salvation, according to the scriptures which you have just read. Now stand and confess that you are saved. But I don't feel like I'm saved, he replied. Maybe not, I said, but you've been coming to this church early every morning for 6 months praying to be saved. Yes, I've repented and prayed and cried and begged God for forgiveness. Then all you lack in your all you lack is understanding this verse, I said. Somewhat reluctantly, he stood and said, well, I do believe these verses, that Jesus died for my sins and was raised from the dead, and that God raised him up for my justification. So I take him as my personal Lord and Savior, amen, and I confess him as my Lord and Savior, and then he quickly sat down. Well, to direct attention away from him, I called on another man to testify. Several other testified as well. Glancing back at him, I noticed his face was shining with the glory of God. I turned to him and said, now would you like to testify again? He leaped to his feet and said, when I made that statement, when I confessed Jesus as my Lord, something happened on the inside of me. And he went on to praise the Lord joyfully. I told him, most assuredly something happened to you. Eternal life was imparted to your spirit. Amen. Public confession is a break with the world. It defines our position. It shows our change of lordship. The confession of the lordship of Jesus puts us immediately. Oh, this is so good. The confession of the lordship of Jesus puts us immediately under his supervision, care, and protection. Before this, Satan was our Lord, whether people realize it or not. Satan, if a sinner, Satan is their God. Satan was our Lord, but now Jesus is our Lord. Not only do we confess this to ourselves and to the world, but we confess it to the devil. In this way, we overcome his hold on us and break his hold on us and have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Confessing the lordship of Jesus, because we do believe that he was crucified our sins, was crucified and was raised to make us right with God, is the very heart of the gospel. Jesus is Lord, and he is our Lord. Can you say amen? Now listen, if you've never called upon the Lord to save you, not just mentally acknowledge that you believe he's the Son of God, but if you've never turned to him realizing that I do need a Savior, if you've never done that, you can do that right now. You can just say, I am a sinner, amen, and my way, whatever my way is, whatever your way is wrong. Because there's a lot of ways out there. You understand what I mean? A lot of ideas out there, a lot of philosophies out there. I was full of a lot of stuff that was stupid and foolish as a backslidden Christian, that, you know, worldly things that were very popular, worldly types of thinking that were popular in that day. I didn't half believe them, you know. I just would, as my parents said, argue with a signpost. You know, a signpost can't talk back, you know. Whatever your way is, you recognize I am a sinner. My way of thinking is wrong. My way of doing is wrong. My philosophies are wrong. You just simply say, and you say whatever, you say what you're, you just admit you're a sinner. Your way, whatever that way is wrong. Admit that. Admit you need a Savior. And then just simply pray this prayer. I'm going to pray it right now. You can be made right with God if you're not right. But we're all going to pray it. Amen. But all you need to do is really believe it in your heart and agree with it in your heart. And just like this man that Brother Hagin talked about, eternal life will come into your spirit. So let's say it. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. And I believe he was raised from the dead to make me right with God. So I right now take you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I confess you are my Lord and that I am now saved. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we are saved by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. And that's how faith works to receive anything from God. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he was raised. Watch this. Jesus is Lord. You accept him as your Lord. But Jesus is Lord means he is Lord over he's Lord over Satan. He's Lord over demons. He's Lord over sin. He's Lord over everything that comes from Satan and sin. He's Lord over every sickness and disease. He's Lord over depression. He's Lord over fear. He's Lord over any kind of lack, of financial lack that you have in your life. He is absolute Lord. Let me hear you say, Jesus is Lord. He defeated the devil. You understand? When he rose from the dead, he conquered the devil. He defeated him. And his victory is our victory. Right here in the book of Romans, back in Romans chapter 6, it tells us that when he died, we died. And when he was raised from the dead, we were raised in him. Hallelujah. He conquered all of those things, not for himself, but for us. For us. Glory to God. So when we believe in our hearts that he died for our sins to justify us and was raised from the dead and acknowledge and confess his lordship, we are saved. But listen. This is so simple. We all know this, but it can be the difference in your life. We receive anything from God the same way. To believe means to take it by faith, to accept it by faith, to receive it by faith as your own. We don't just believe in healing. We believe we are healed because of what Jesus did for us when he redeemed us on the cross. Jesus was raised victorious over sin and over Satan, and he was raised victorious over every sickness and every disease and every unholy pain that would try to attack your body. Glory to God. So we acknowledge he is Lord over every sickness and disease. And we simply say, listen, Jesus is my healer, just like Jesus is my Savior. I believed he healed me in his death, burial, and resurrection. So I right now take him as my healer, and I confess that I am right now healed. Don't be like the man in the story and go, oh yeah, I believe in that healing stuff. Oh yeah, I'm Word of Faith. Oh yeah, I'm Pentecostal. Oh yeah, I'm charismatic. I believe in that healing stuff. I believe that he bore my sicknesses and diseases. Are you healed? Well, I'm trying to be, you know. Stand up and confess like Brother Hagin has. Stand up and confess because I believe those things in my heart. I am right now healed. That's what the Word of Faith does. So let's say it together. Jesus is my healer. Just like he is my Savior. I believed he healed me in redemption. So I right now believe and take him as my healer. And I confess that I am healed. Right now, I am healed. Jesus was raised from the dead, Lord over every sin, and Lord over every addiction, and Lord over every sinful habit. So say this, I believe with all my heart, Jesus delivered me from the power of sin and the power of every addiction. And I confess that I am right now delivered and free from sin's power in Jesus' name. Jesus was raised from the dead and is Lord over every mental, emotional disorder. Every confused thought, Jesus is Lord over that. Every anxious thought, Jesus is Lord over that. Every disturbed thought, every fear thought, every depressed thought, Jesus was raised Lord over those things. And when he was raised, you were raised Lord over those things. It's just a matter of believing it in your heart and confessing it with your mouth. That's how you receive it. So say this, so I believe Jesus set my mind free. Depression has no power over me. Fear has no power over me. Confusion, anxiety, emotional disorders are all part of what Jesus set me free from. I believe that. I believe that. And I confess with my mouth that my mind is totally free and totally healed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You know, finally, Jesus is Lord over everything that's under the curse. Christ has redeemed us. He paid the price that we might go free from. He purchased our freedom from. He delivered us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us when he hung on the tree. When Jesus died on the cross, on the tree, he paid the price that we could go free from everything that was under the curse of the law. The curse of the law included failure. This was the curse that would come upon you because you were a sinner, because you were not right with God. And the curse that was to come on us was failure. I should just summarize it. Failure and defeat, oppression of all kinds, bondage of all kinds, poverty and lack, shame and humiliation, unfruitfulness. In other words, you won't succeed, you won't prosper. Mental and emotional problems, sickness and disease, destruction of all kinds, and trouble and breakdown of the family. Glory to God. That's all under the realm of spiritual death. But Christ has redeemed us from the curse of all these things. So say this, say, Jesus is Lord. He is my Lord over any and everything that's under the curse. I take him as my deliverer from anything that's under the curse. And I confess I am delivered. I'm free. I'm prosperous. I'm fruitful. I'm successful. I'm victorious because Jesus is Lord. Now praise him about that a little bit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Can we sing that again? What can wash away my sins? Amen. Hallelujah. It's all because of Jesus. Hallelujah.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Verse 3 says, sin says nothing can for sin atone. In other words, we cannot be redeemed and made right with God any other way. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of the good which I have done, but because of the blood of Jesus. We have to get it through our little peanut brains. Jesus did it all. We just simply receive it by faith, by believing in our heart and confessing with our mouth. For with the heart man believeth unto, and with the mouth confession is made. Glory to God. Let's sing it again, dude.
Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not a good that I have done. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! I think I need a bigger neck size. I believe and I confess that I have everything that Jesus did for me when he died on the cross and was raised from the dead. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. 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 Jesus is Lord. And He is my Lord. Glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. So this is the word of faith, Paul said, that we preach. This is the way to get saved. This is the way to receive everything that salvation offers to you because of what Jesus did for you. Believe it in your heart. Confess it in your mouth. But it all starts with surrendering your life to the Lordship of Jesus. Aren't you glad you did that? If you're saved and you know it, shout amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you are going to eat dinner with your family today? What are we having out there today? Huh? We're having ham. Who else is having ham? Who's having turkey? Jude from Nigeria was very disappointed that we weren't having turkey this morning because he and his father love turkey. I said, well, ham's kind of the traditional thing on Easter Sunday, but we're having ham. Whatever you're having, I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you're blessed. Come on, come on, brother. Come on. I knew there was something. Give me the microphone. You don't need that? But they want to hear you. I'll hold it for you. How about that? Or you can hold it. Put it up there real close so they can hear you.
The word might in that scripture says might be saved.
Yeah.
Is the word dunamis.
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 Wow, that's good.
The power to be saved is the original Greek that would be said in if you were speaking Greek. That word power means to become saved.
Hallelujah. That's good. I like it. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. God bless you. We love you. You are dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.